house, Lord. What a wonderful song service. I appreciate the songs of Zion. What a blessing they are, and I'm thankful for that. Well, if anybody's got a testimony before we get started, anybody got anything you need to say or do before we get started here? Now, I turn your Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter number 1, please. Romans chapter number 1. I want to try to deal with a subject that has plagued our nation, has plagued our counties, has plagued our country. And I hope and pray that the Lord would fill us with His Spirit this morning and fill us with the fullness of God, that we may preach with great power and unction of the Holy Ghost. And I pray if you're here lost this morning, my prayer and desire would be that you get saved before you leave here. Amen. We come here to worship God, but we also come here in expectation that God would change the sinner. Amen. And He will if you'll let Him. And I'm very glad of that. He changed me. He's changed others. We talked about in Sunday school this morning how Paul, seemed like everywhere he went, he was very eager to share his testimony. Amen. Now, he could have preached on the law. He could have preached on a lot of things. But he said, can I tell you what the Lord did for me personally? Amen. And so I'm glad of that and thankful for that. If you got your Bibles, Romans chapter number 1, please. Romans chapter number 1. I want to read several verses more than I normally read. But I feel like it will be helpful for us to understand what Paul is trying to get across to us in the book of Romans. The Bible says in verse number 18, if you got your Bibles, Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow, as humbly as we know how, God, I thank You for this portion of Scripture. I thank You for the Word of God and the blessings of God. I want to thank You, Lord, this morning that You've allowed us to wake up and You've given us the breath of life and You've given us another day to worship You in spirit and truth. And Lord, I pray this morning that You'd fill us with the fullness of God. I pray You'd anoint us afresh, Lord, and use us for Your honor and Your glory. I pray, God, that nobody would leave here this morning out of Your will or lost without God. I pray the power of God would fall. I pray You'd unction in the Holy Ghost that it may deal with hearts this morning. I thank You for all that You've done, everything You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, you that know your Bible know Romans chapter number 1. You know what the Bible's dealing with here. And he starts out, and I want to deal with the subject by the help of the Lord on this. I want to preach, if God would help me for a little while, on dealing with the truth. Dealing with the truth. A lot of American society and the way we're in and the shape we're in America has to do with one factor, and it's how humanity has dealt with the truth. And unfortunately, here I want to give you three things by the help of the Lord, and we'll bring our remarks to a close. And there's a process of which humanity has dealt with the truth. Now, can I say to you today, coming up in school, I remember they would teach us the theology and the theories of all the things of how they believed the world began. I remember being told of the Big Bang Theory, which made no sense to me anyhow. I remember the theory of how that evolution started and that we started in a lowest state and we become to a high primordial state of mind. But can I tell you today, that's not what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches that we started high and we went low. Amen? The Bible doesn't start out low and we start go to high. But we started out with God. See, the Bible teaches that we started out knowing God. We started out perfect with God. We started out at having power with God. But over time, according to the Bible, we begin to get lower and lower and lower. But I love what the Bible says in Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus. Amen. He said, who has made himself a little lower than the angels. Ain't you glad when man got to the lowest state he could get, Jesus left the portals of heaven and come down where he was. And he made himself lowly of no reputation. And he came down to man. But I want to deal with this subject, dealing with the truth. Let's start with verse number 18. This is how man has dealt with the truth through all centuries. It was back in Peter's day, Paul's day, and it's now how we have to deal with it now in our day. Notice this. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Can I say to you today, his wrath has been revealed. Amen? And it will continue to be revealed until judgment day. And notice what he says. He said it's been revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now that word hold means this. It means to hold down or to suppress. Now humanity starts out with the truth and here's how they deal with it. I'm going to hold it down and I'm going to suppress it. Because they know if they can suppress the truth, then all of a sudden there'll be no conviction in their life. If I can hold the truth down long enough, it will not convict me. And if it will not convict me, I will never repent. Like what a man taught here the other day, he was preaching on repentance. He said there's four things you must understand about the doctrine of repentance. Repentance deals with this. He said it involves telling. It involves turning. It involves dealing with the truth. And it involves trusting a holy God. And it involves all these things. But if we suppress the truth, we'll never deal with reality. And unfortunately, we live in society that has gotten to the point. You notice they started out worshiping God. But at the very end of this chapter, the Bible says that they were worshiping the birds, the beasts, and the bugs. Amen? And so they started out worshiping God for who he was, but they ended up in a low estate. Notice this. So I want to say, number one, humanity has suppressed the truth. Look at verse number, I believe it's verse number 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God. Now what you notice is, they started out knowing the Lord. I love what I used to listen to a lot of debates when I was young, and I still do today. I listen to atheists as they try to debate, and I remember one said this. He said, you're not going to get through to me. I don't believe in God. I don't trust in God. There's no such thing as God. And I remember the young man said this. He was a greenhorn. He was young, didn't know a whole lot. He said, did you know that your name is in the Bible? He said, wait a minute. I told you I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. My name's nowhere in the Bible. He said, yeah, it is. He said, the Bible said the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He said, you're in the Bible, amen? Do you know that? He said, so I want you to understand that it doesn't matter how you want to deal with the truth. You may try to suppress it, but one day you're going to have to deal with it. Number two, he said, because they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Humanity, here's what happens. They suppress the truth. If they cannot suppress it, they will refuse it. I've got people on my job that I deal with every day. and they talk about what the Bible says, and I love to get in discussions with them because half of it's not in the Bible. And they'll tell me, Troy, I had one the other day, he's way on out there, okay? I'll just say that. You can take it what you want to, but he's out there. And he said, well, Troy, you know what the Bible says. And he tried to change what the Word of God says, and he tried to tell me what the Scripture says. And I said, well, can I take you to a few other verses that you, for some reason, are not wanting to talk about? I said, the Bible tells me that what you're doing is an abomination unto God. Yeah, oh, no, Troy, I'm not. No, God loves me. Oh, he loves you. But what you're doing is against his word. And so notice this. They said, we're going to suppress it. We're going to take it down. We're going to hold it down. But if we can't do that, you know what we deal with a lot? They refuse the truth. Just denied its very existence. I heard a man I talked to a while back. He said, well, that can't be true. It's not going to be true. And he kept on arguing with me about the scriptures and how things are going to be. And it was very clear. And I said, now, wait a minute. I said, the Bible tells us such and such and this and that. He said, well, that's just not going to happen. I said, okay. Do you believe you're going to die? Of course I'm going to die. I said, so you cannot deny that, right? Oh, no, no. I said, then what you going to do with after you die? What's involved after that? Well, nobody can know. I said, sure you can. According to the Bible, you can. I like what a man said one time. He began to argue the fact of the afterlife. You know what he said? He made this statement. He told a man, he said, look, he said, you everything you believe is based on faith. He said, have you ever talked to a dead man? No. Have you ever interviewed him? How do you know that there's life after death? Now, I'll never forget his remark. As the man looked at him and said, sir, what do you have to say for yourself? And I loved how he does. You know, Jesus always answered with a question. Yes, you ever notice that? He never really gave full answers. He always started with a question. You know what he said? He said, can I ask you something, sir? He said, have you ever talked to a dead man? He said, no. Now, look, I see a lot of them every day. I work in the funeral home business. I see a lot of them. Never seen one talk, but I've seen a lot of them. And he said, well, have you ever interviewed a man after he died? He said, no. He said, then me and you have a problem. He said, why? He said, because you're basing the same thing. He said, what you're telling me is based off faith, which is the same thing you're arguing about me being based off of. Amen? He said, the bottom line is I base what the Bible says and I go with what the Bible says. And so the truth, Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he wants us to know he is the truth. Notice this. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How many of you know these people? They got so much wisdom, but yet they're so foolish. They'll tell you what all of their thoughts and their philosophies are and have nothing to back it with. And so we deal with that in our jobs, our society. He said this, he said, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. So man once knew God for who he was. Man once seen God, worshiped God, loved God, walked with God. But there come a point in man's time where he changed it into a corruptible thing. Did you know that most of the problem we deal with in our society is they got to the point that they have suppressed the truth. All of a sudden they refuse the truth. Here's what they do next. They'll change it into a lie. If they cannot suppress it, they'll say, hey, I'll refuse it. Here's the problem. You can only refuse it long enough. And then it's going to come to the point that you're going to have to change it and make it into a lie. And he said, here's what they'll do. They'll change. He said, likewise also men. Notice this. He said, who change the truth of God into a lie. Yeah. Do you know man has got to the point that they'll change the truth of the Lord into a very lie. They're doing it even in our Bibles. They'll take our Bibles. A man talked to me the other day. And he said, well, Troy, I got all different versions. I said, that's your business. He said, well, I just don't know. I said, well, you ever read the Message Bible? Oh, yeah, I read that too. I said, you know what the problem with that is? You're getting a paraphrase of what actually happened. Amen. So you're not getting any details. You don't know exactly what took place. That's like stepping on a crime scene and somebody saying, hey, he was killed. Well, my God, that tells me nothing. Amen. I know he's dead, but I don't know how he died. I don't know what happened. I don't know what in the world's going on. And so a lot of times we take and say, hey, that's good enough. But the truth is, The Bible is an inerrant word of God. And he tells us this. He said this. You know where we've got into a society where everything's acceptable. You know why? Because they suppress it. If they can't do that, they refuse it. If they can't do that, they change it. And they say, well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what he meant. That's not what he was talking about. But here's the problem. It is what he was talking about. It is what he meant. It is what he said. And so notice this. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. I wonder how many of you got things you're worshiping in your life. When you talk to people about idolatry and idols, they look at you like you're crazy. I ain't got no idols in my life. I don't have anything that I worship. You really? Because most of us worship ourselves. Amen. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Most of us, you'll say, I don't worship anything. How many times you look in the mirror before you leave? Amen. Yeah, man, I know it's going to get quiet. I mean, we'll look at ourselves 1,000 times. And I'm bad about myself. I'll leave and I'll say, baby, everything look okay? My face look good? My hair look good? My suit look good? My shoes look good? And my wife says, yeah, you look all right. You look all right. I never get you look good, amen. It's just you look okay. You look good enough to go out in society. And so that's what we deal with. And so what I'm saying is, well, we're looking and we're always worried about self, self, self. And if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to worship our own being than we will the Creator. Do you know we was created for one reason and one reason only? According to Revelation 4:11, we was created for His pleasure. His. I love people tell me, God wants me to be happy all my life. He wants me to love every aspect of myself. Amen. Really? Where's that in the Bible? Can somebody show me that? I mean, they'll tell me God is so concerned about me being happy all the days of my life. Well, how come one of the greatest men of God who wrote over half of your New Testament said he was beat? He was naked. I had perilous times. I was hungry. He said there was times that I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. There was times when my back was hurting, where I'd been beat. Why is that? It doesn't sound like he was always happy. But I tell you what I love about him. One place they beat him about to death. And they beat the apostles to the point they could barely move. And the Bible said they left there rejoicing. Amen. Yeah. Bible said they left there on fire for God. Amen. I preached here the other day and I made this topic. I said being cast into the fire while on fire for God. Amen. You know what the Bible tells us about the three Hebrew children? They bound them and they meant to burn them. One minor detail they left out. You can't burn a man that's on fire, amen? I'm telling you something about God. They were on fire anyhow. Why was they not scared of burning? Because they was burning with the love of God down in their bosom. And they weren't scared of being put to fire because they had already been on fire. Amen. Anybody's word, I don't know. God's going to cast me in the fire. Well, get on fire. Amen. I'm worried about troubles. Well, get on fire. I'm worried about what's going to come my way. Get on fire. You know what I noticed about a fire that's amazing to me? I can throw everything I want to at it, and it just consumes everything that hits it. I threw logs. I remember years ago, my wife, I said, we need some more firewood. There ain't none in here. I went down and cut down a tree during a snowstorm. And we don't get many of them. My wife said this. She said, it won't burn. I said, it's hot enough, it'll burn. Amen. You get that fire hot enough, and I took a log literally saturated in snow, and I threw it in the fire. You know what happened? It burnt. Amen. Let me tell you something. You'll say, you just don't understand. I'm cold, and I'm indifferent, and the people around me is cold and indifferent. Well, I promise you this. If you'll get on fire for God, that'll quit happening. Amen. You can burn that stuff away. The Bible said God is a consuming fire. Amen. And so notice what he says. He said they changed the truth into a lie. Notice this, for this cause. I want you to notice what happens. You know why our society we're living in, I know it's going to get quiet, but in a, I guess I'll use the better term, sodomy. Anybody know what that is? We don't have to go into term, but I'll just tell you what, you know what it is. We're dealing with it. It's rampage. The Bible tells us why we deal with it in verse number 26. For this cause, what? They withheld the truth. They refused the truth. They changed the truth into lie. And notice what God says. He said, for this cause, for all of this, because they denied the truth, they refused it, they changed it, they suppressed it, here's what happened. He said, for this cause God gave them up a defile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They became like beasts. Do you know that? We went from a state of perfection to the point of we're down there where the animals are. Amen? Notice what he said. And likewise also men leaving the natural use of a woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meat. You know what's caused it to be rampage? And homosexuality is spread in this nation. Do you know why that is? Because we have suppressed the truth, we have refused it, and then we've changed it into a lie. And because we've done that, our nation is plagued with what we're dealing with right now. Had we had dealt with it like we should have, I remember that years ago, Brother Raymond Cook lived in Albertville, Alabama. And you know, up till he died, or a year or two before he died, I think it was after he died actually, but up till he died, you know, his county was dry. You could not sell alcohol in Alabama. Every state of the union was selling alcohol but one county. It was Albertville, Alabama. Do you know why? Because he dealt with the truth. He stood up on the courtyard and said, it will not happen. We will not let it happen. And he refused to let his county go wet. Amen. Everybody around him, they said, well, you can't drink in Albertville. You can go every other county and drink. But there's some old crazy preacher up there standing on the courtyard saying it ain't going to happen. Amen. And he refused it, and he dealt with the truth in a godly manner. Yeah, that's right. And it stayed dry till after he died. Amen. Can I say this? I believe if Raymond Cook was still alive, that county would still be dry. I believe it would. I believe if Raymond Cook was alive right now, every state in the union could say, we're all going to drink. And you know what he'd say? Not in this county, you're not. Not in this county. You can go drink in the next county, but you won't do it in my county. Amen. Let me tell you something. We need to deal with the truth in all its fullness. I wonder, what are you going to do with the truth this morning? They suppressed it. Can I say to you, we need to embrace it. They refused it. Can I say to you, we need to run to it. Amen. They chase it. I say we choose it. Amen. And so I want to always be found dealing with the truth in a godly manner. What are you going to do with the truth this morning? How are you going to deal with it? You're going to hold it back during altar call? Some of you right now, we're going to give altar call in a few seconds. You know what you're going to do? You're going to suppress the truth in your life. There's something that God is trying to convict you of, trying to deal with you of. There's something he's trying to bring out, a better you, something that God is trying to deal with you about, but you don't want to hear it. You're trying to suppress it and refuse it. But here's the sad reality. You will deal with it one day. I've got a boy right now that we got, and I won't say when, but it's been a while back. We got a young boy, about 15, shot himself, made one minor mistake in his life, and he's suffering it now. I don't know where he spent eternity. I have no clue. But here's what I do know with. He could not deal with the truth. There was something about in his life that he could not deal with. And so he figured, I'll just erase it. I'll take it out. But here's the problem. When he left out of here, he dealt with it whether he liked it or not. You may not deal with it on this side, but I promise you, you will deal with it on the other side. You may refuse it on this side, but you will not refuse it on that side. You may change it on this side, but you will not change it on that side. You may suppress it on this side, but you will not suppress it on that side. It will not happen. How are you going to deal with the truth this morning as they bring a verse of song, I wonder? What are you going to do with it? God's dealing with hearts. I remember reading years ago about George Whitefield would preach in auditoriums and people would turn away God and they would die literally in the pews. Now, some people say, well, they believed in irresistible grace. If I seen a man die in a pew from turning away God, I'd probably believe the same thing. Amen. I'm talking, you got to understand, God was dealing with humanity, but we have constantly got away from the truth of God in our life. Remember when we used to do things, we don't do them anymore. Remember the things we used to not do, now we do. Paul said, those things I hate, now I do. And so I wonder this morning, they stand. What are you going to do with the truth this morning? You're going to heed to it? You're going to choose it? You're going to run to it? Are you going to choose the right way or the wrong way? If you're lost here this morning, I promise you, if you don't know God on a personal matter, I'm not talking about, well, here's what they say. I believe God. I believe in Jesus. It takes more than just belief. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. It takes more than that. It takes a genuine repentance and asking God to come in your heart. The Bible said no man can come to the Father except by me. I like what a man told me one time. He said, it's not whensoever, it's whosoever. He said, you'll say, well, I'll get saved whenever I want to. No, you won't. I tell you, if you believe that, then go to your door at 3 o'clock in the morning and open it and see if anybody's on the other side. Nobody's on the other side unless they're knocking. Is he knocking at your heart's door? As they sing this morning.